Welcome to Hope Talks, where inspiring stories and biblical truth come together to share the hope found in Jesus Christ, hosted by Grayson Willis. Join us as we share uplifting stories of triumph, practical teaching, and conversation that point to the enduring hope and life-changing love of Jesus Christ. If you're in the listening area, be sure to tune in to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon on 1470 AM and 102.1 FM WBTX.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by Pastor Kevin Griffin, the lead pastor here at Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg. Pastor Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you today, Grayson?
Great. For those that heard last Sunday's broadcast on Hope Talks, you got to hear part one of a message from a men's retreat a few months back in Cape May, New Jersey, that we took with our church. If you missed that message from Pastor Frank Short, a pastor in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, you can go find that on our website, cotnaz.org, click Hope Talks, and it was the August 9th program. So, Pastor Kevin, today we're just going to maybe recap a little bit already what was talked about in the first part about the men's retreat and also kind of leapfrog into this second half of his message.
Yeah, so the retreat was centered around this idea of encourage. And prior to the retreat, on a Saturday morning at a prayer breakfast, Dr. Brian Charette launched us into this idea of what is encouragement, why is it important, and what is discouragement? Because we seem to face that. In fact, he made the statement, we are in a desert of encouragement. In particular for men, we seem to struggle with receiving it, but also giving it. So we went to a men's retreat in Cape May, New Jersey, May 28th through the 30th. A friend of mine, Frank Short, who pastors the New Holland Nazarene Church, came and spent the few days with us. And in a couple different sessions, he used the metaphor of the race related to encouragement. He said, in Paul's words to 2 Timothy, he talks about the metaphor of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Well, he went after this idea of athlete, specifically the race, because Paul talked a lot about the race and just really challenged us on how are we doing in the race?
Right.
What does a race look like? And then he went specifically, he really went after discipleship.
Right.
Are we being disciples? And if we are being disciples, truly, then we are discipling someone else.
Right.
He even went so far as to make this statement. If you're not discipling another believer, you're probably living in disobedience.
Wow.
That's a hard statement. It's probably controversial for some Christians, and they would say, that's not my personality. I'm not far enough along in my journey with Jesus. But I think he was really challenging a group of men, largely a group of men, who would say, we have followed Jesus for some time.
Right.
And knowing that some of them are sitting there and they think it's okay to be a disciple without making a disciple.
Right.
So that was the real challenge that he went after.
Yeah.
In the second session in particular, then into the third session.
Yeah. And the thing that really stuck out to me, we've had people that have discipled us that have helped us grow. And in turn, we need to be kind of giving back, so to speak, or passing the baton, as the analogy that the baton's been passed to us. We've been discipled, and we need to disciple. We always need people that are further along on the journey than us discipling us, but we also need to be having Timothys, so to speak, like Paul had, people who maybe aren't as far along on the journey as we are, that we are discipling.
Yeah. Specifically, he talked about a few people that Paul references at the end of his life to Timothy. He talked about Demas and said, in the journey, guess what, guys? You're going to have a teammate. You're going to have somebody desert you. He talked about Mark, who, and he basically said, like, look, you can't, the whole story is not written in one chapter. He got frustrated with him. Alexander was in opposition to what Paul was trying to do. And then he talked about Luke and Barnabas, and he got frustrated with Barnabas.
Right.
He talked about the need. Do we as men, are we some of these characters? And do we have some of these, not just, oh, characters in a Bible story? Do we have some of these people in our life that we're being intentional with that we would say, much like what you just said?
Right.
Okay, yes, this idea of we receive the baton to pass the baton. But in that, in the race, we're going to have some folks around us. And he labeled them Demas, Mark,
right,
Alexander, Luke. And he even said at the end, man, we need to find a Luke. He wasn't flashy. He was just really faithful. And I thought that was beautiful. Yeah. And any man, regardless of whether they feel like they're in a high leadership position or not, you're going to be a leader on some level, and you can just expect opposition.
Right.
There's opposition in a race. I don't know what the course looks like. I don't know what the weather looks like. I don't know what the opponents look like, but there's all these factors. So there was just a real beauty in what he shared about this idea of the race and also discipleship.
Yeah, and some of the things that stuck out to me as you were talking was leaders are different. Leadership looks different for each person depending on what God's gifted you with. You talked about Luke not being flashy, but you don't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple.
That's exactly right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I love that he circled back to this even conversation. Paul's at the end of his life. He's in prison and he's got chains and he tells him, hey, go get Mark. I know I got upset with Mark before, but we're going to need Mark to help us finish the race here. So there's just a beautiful picture of just God's patience with us, but also our willingness to be patient with others. Right. It's not that we don't have accountability. It's not that we don't have standards, but we can't write people off after one chapter.
Yeah.
He spent some time, too, just specifically saying, how did Jesus do discipleship? It was this follow me while being changed and being on mission with Jesus. And that was a real challenge, that are we as men doing that? And if we will do that, we will be encouraged, but we will also be an encouragement for other people.
Right.
And oftentimes we're so, it's the world, it's culture, it's all very legitimate reasons of why we focus more on just being a disciple and almost surviving this Christian life of faith versus we're not just trying to survive this.
Yeah.
We get to play a part, and part of that is this idea of, man, come follow me, and we're going to do this together, and we have this great commission, and we have this great companion, and he's going to empower and source us, not just so that we survive and make it ourselves, but so that we can run it and pass the baton and do it with others.
That's great, Pastor Kevin. Certainly, running the race is, you know, we're talking about passing the baton, but running the race is important between receiving the baton and handing off the baton. And we don't want to just be robots or just going through life. We want to make sure that we're making the most of the opportunities that God gives us.
Yeah. It was a powerful few days. It was a great challenge. It was convicting. It was really, really good for a group of men to be reminded. We were encouraged by being there, but I think we left knowing we got to go home and we have to be agents of encouragement everywhere we show up.
Right.
That seems so simple and like, well, that's Bible 101. He even said that.
Right.
I ought to back up one step and say this, and I don't know how much time we have, but he wanted to make sure in the first session that we had people who were even in the race.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And in the race means, are you a Christian?
Right.
Have you accepted what the Lord wants for your life?
Right.
Because that prompts us to, okay, now I can grab the baton to go hand it to somebody else.
Yeah, that was key. You can't run the race if you're not in the race. And then the third session, he talked about finishing well.
Yeah.
Making sure that, you know, even if we've been faithful all of our days, we have to be faithful up until the very end, till the Lord calls us home to be with him in heaven.
Which is where all that challenge came in with all those other characters that Paul said to Timothy. Right. Hey, listen, in the race of finishing well, you're going to have all these people, and some of them you're going to need, and some of them you're going to just have to run anyway.
Right. Yep. Well, thank you, Pastor Kevin. We hope and pray that the second part of Pastor Frank Short's message today will be a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Are you passing the baton? Are you passing the baton? I want you to think about this. Paul's already said they couldn't complete the race without us. You and I need to run the race with endurance, stripping off anything that hinders or impedes our progress. There's a great crowd of witnesses. All of those who have gone before us, who have lived a life of faith and have faithfully passed the baton on to the next generation, are cheering us on, wanting us to run our leg of the race, and wanting us to complete it successfully. Are you passing the baton? Why does it matter? Well, Jesus said something about this. Y'all probably heard this, but I'm going to break this down a little bit. Therefore, we'll get to that. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, Nazarenes, don't get lost in the sauce and think this is all about missions. It is not. When this was being given, all the nations was talking about all kinds of people. Because some of us are great at taking exotic Christian vacations, but we can't make a disciple across the street. There is a problem with that. He didn't say go and make converts. Hey, repeat these words after me. I'll give you a Bible. Good luck. He didn't say that. He didn't even say go and make Nazarenes. Can he say that? He did. I is one. I can talk about it. You can talk about your own family. You may not get happy somebody else talks about it, but you can talk about your own family. That's not what we're called to do. Some of us think that, you know, making disciples is about preparing people to be able to pass a Nazarene theological exam. And then you got to do the 16 articles of faith. Sorry, 16 articles of faith will not get you to heaven. We're supposed to be making disciples of all the nations, all people. Guess what? You ain't even got to go to the nations. The nations can come to us. Man, where you guys live, I guarantee you, you got people from all over the place that live where you live. You got all kinds of people in your sphere. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to memorize. Nope. Teach these new disciples to believe. Nope. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. I am with you all, even to the end of the age. Man, go and make disciples, baptize them, teaching them to obey. Here's the greatest thing. I love this in here. And I don't know that we fully appreciate it. We know this is called the Great Commission. Right? Everybody knows that, right? Just nod your head and act like that so I don't think you're stupid. I wouldn't think that. No. The Great Commission, here's the beauty. The Great Commission comes with a great companion. He promises that if we will obey this command, we will never do it by ourselves. He will be present. He will be present with you. I'm with you always. Oh, you know what? I forgot to put those last couple words in there. That's all me. Right? End of the age should be in there. I did. I got it on my paper. Oh, you know what it was? I made my stuff in Canva. Then I transferred it to PPTX for, you know, this program and it cut it off. I shouldn't have looked at that. Ain't no flawlessness here. But we got another thing, Bible 101. We did this just a few minutes ago. Let's do it again. What does this verse start with?
Therefore.
And so what do we got to do? We got to go find out what it's there for. Well, here's what happened. The preceding verse, Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, why was that important that he says that first? Therefore, go and make disciples. Here's why. You ain't got to ask nobody. You don't need a second opinion. I've been given all authority. There's no place you can go where you get somebody else's opinion that out outranks what I just told you. And he says that first and foremost. What we need to understand, and I believe many in the church today fail to understand, the Great Commission is not a great suggestion. Jesus didn't give us a suggestion. He didn't give us an option, and he didn't give us a strategy. We need to remember, this is a command. Jesus is our king. He is our commander-in-chief, and he has just issued marching orders. This is not up for you to consider whether you want to do or not. This is not for you to think, well, let me think about this. I'm not sure how I feel about this. He don't care how you feel about it. Yeah, but I'm an introvert. Shut up. Right? I mean, honestly, let's think about it. I mean, some of you guys were in, some of you guys served, I was in the Marines. Man, I remember somebody saying, now, Frank, how do you feel about this? No, that's not how it operated. I told you to do something. Right? What's wrong with you? You still standing here? Am I deaf? Man, I could get in. I gotta be careful because see, I can slip into things I probably shouldn't say. Right? So I can't go into that. We need to understand it that way. We've not understood it that way. We thought it's some beautiful theological presentation that's something that we should contemplate. There's no contemplation. It's an order. It's a command. Do it. This is what we're supposed to be doing. I told you guys last night, I gave you some information sooner than I wanted to. I was going to give it to you today. But I gave it to you last night. But I'm going to tell you again. 44,000 people every single day enter into a Christless eternity. Every day. That should alarm us. That should disturb us. That should bother us. That should create a sense of urgency that this matters. That this matters. Are you passing the baton? I don't want to get heavy in the sense of this, but we need to wrestle with this. I don't care how perfect attendance you have at church. I don't care how many ministries you're volunteering with. I don't even care how much you drop in the bucket. You can list to me all the things you don't do. Like you don't say any words that are questionable. You don't have any practices. I don't do this. I don't do that. You can tell me all you want to about your holiness. But if you ain't making disciples, you're walking in disobedience. Try that one on for size. You try to excuse him. You try to rationalize. You're wrong. The command has been issued. We either obey or disobey. It is that simple. And our obedience to that command means we're running arm's length of the race. And we're faithfully passing the baton to the next runner. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're commanded to do. I want you to think about this right now. Maybe we get confused about what it means. I think discipleship is this word we use in church. We throw it on all kinds of stuff. You know, because then we can either give it a budget or we can get credit for it in our report at the end of the year as pastors, right? And what we've done, we put discipleship on everything that means nothing in discipleship. We need to understand what that is. And I think some of us are overwhelmed by it. Like, I'm not sure if you're discerning. You know, because if we think somehow it is, oh, I got to know all these things, and I got to be able to teach all these things, or I've got to make sure that, no. Jesus' guys didn't have the degrees. Jesus' guys didn't have. They spent time with him. He walked with them in relationship. He shared with them the truth. And he just said, likewise. I want to ask you, are you passing the baton? Let me make that just more practical. I want you to think right now, what is the name of the man that you're having coffee with on a weekly basis? Tell me the name of the man or the men that you're having breakfast with on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis. The man that you're having lunch with on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. Tell me who it is that you're listening to their struggles and that you're sharing your own. Tell me who it is that you're opening the Word of God with and that you're praying with. That's discipleship. Discipleship happens in relationship. It doesn't happen in a classroom. Man, we've messed this up. Hear me. Discipleship doesn't happen in a classroom. Instruction happens in a classroom. You don't disciple people by lecturing them. You disciple people by walking with them in relationship. Hearing them out, man. Wrestling with them through the struggles that they're wrestling with. Not giving up on them. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't teach classes. Yeah, he taught crowds. Big sermons. But the guys who were his disciples, man, they're the guys who walked together for 3.5 years in relationship. That's what you and I are called to do. Enter into relationship with other men, walking alongside them. We define it this way. Because if we're going to understand what disciple making is, what discipleship is, then we've got to understand what a disciple is. And if you can't define it, or you define it 20 million different ways, you're never going to get on the same page as the church. I can guarantee you that. I use a simple definition. I didn't come up with it. I'm not that smart. But I learned this one. And it changed my ministry. Matthew 4:19, you can also find it in Mark 1:17. The definition is in the invitation. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Some translations say, I'll show you how to fish for people. Right there is the definition. A disciple is somebody who's following Jesus. Somebody who's being changed by Jesus. Somebody's on mission with Jesus. That's it. It's real simple. So discipleship, or making disciples, go and make disciples, is you and I entering into a relationship, walking alongside somebody, helping them, guess what? Follow Jesus. Be changed by Jesus. Join the mission. I'm going to enter into a relationship. I'm going to walk beside someone. And I'm going to pass the baton. And I'm going to show them how to pass the baton. That's it. That is not the sound that we want echoing through our eternity. That I dropped the baton and I failed to run my leg of the race and do what I was commanded to do. One day we will stand before our Lord and King, our Savior. I know everybody here is either grown up in church or heard a priest, or you're looking forward to, or you're dreaming of the day when you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Surprise, surprise. Many will not hear those words. You know what? When we stand before the Lord Jesus, what's going to be our reward? What's going to be our victory? What's going to be our crown? You know how it says in Revelation, where it talks about the elders of the church that have their crowns, but then they take their crowns, because they even got a band called Casting Crowns. Comes from that verse, because they took those crowns, those rewards, and they cast them at the feet of Jesus, because all glory and credit goes to them. But do you know what that crown was consisting of? Paul tells us. Paul gives us insight. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. He says, after all, what gives us hope and joy? What will be our proud and rewarded crown as we stand before our Lord and Jesus when He returns? He says, it is you. It won't be some wonderful building you built. It won't be some ministry you inspired. It won't be, you know what it's going to be? Your crown is going to be the disciples you made. The lives that you affected. The people that you passed the baton to, that are now passing the baton to others. That's going to be our crown and our reward as we stand before the Lord Jesus. And we won't even be able to sit there and boast about it, because it's all for Him. It'll be the disciples we've made, those who we have successfully passed the baton to in the exchange zone, which is our lifetime. In our lifetime. I can share with you another stat that's really troubling. It's a new stat. Barnum, the Navigators, Gray Matter Research, Exponential, Sunship.org, all partnered in getting research done on this. This is a stat that came out in 2024. End of 2024. 98% of Christians will die without ever leading another person outside of their immediate family to a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We have failed to comprehend that this is not a suggestion. This is not a strategy. This is a command. Will you pass the baton? Again, I define disciple. Someone who's following Jesus, being changed by Jesus. His own mission with Jesus. Meaning, Jesus changes me, transforms me to be a fisher of men. Fisher of people. He doesn't say that I'm going to teach you how to catch them. He says I'm going to teach you how to fish. See, there's the deal. The catching ain't up to you a minute. I don't know if there's any fishermen in the room. I mean, fishermen alive, we know that, right? But truth be told, you don't catch something every time. Not every time. But the only way you are going to catch is you got to faithfully fish. The catching is up to Him. He's the Lord of the harvest. He'll take care of that. The problem is the laborers of you. God has commanded you and I to make disciples. You and I are required to faithfully teach. He will take care of the catching. And as I like to say, you ain't fishing.
Thank you for listening to the second part of Pastor Frank Short's message today. We pray that it has been a half hour of hope for your life. Thank you for tuning in. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.